This is podtech.net, and I'm Kip Meekum today talking with Nathan Hatch, Senior Vice President of Marketing and Corporate Development for Linden, Utah-based Helius, Inc. Nate, welcome to the podcast.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here, Kip.
Helius is a 10-year-old company. They're venture-backed, providing customers with enterprise-wide data broadcast infrastructure. Nate, talk for a moment, if you would, about your products and some of the companies that are making use of the stuff that you're into, corporate broadcast, business TV, interactive distance learning and training, and distributed digital signage.
Well, the core of Helius's expertise is really around distributed IP video, the opportunity for people to use video in new ways. A lot of people look at video and they think of television, they think of film, DVDs, those things they rent, they go to the theater and see. But today you're seeing video used in a lot of unique ways. Video is being used to train people, to educate people, whether it be in the university setting or a corporate setting. You have video being used to give information. You've been to the airport recently, I'm sure you've seen video displays showing you what the weather is like, an opportunity to gain information that you otherwise don't have access to, but do it in a way that's very visually appealing. You know, there's a lot of ways we gain information, but video itself has been proven time and again to be one of the best teachers that there are. Companies that that we currently sell products to and work with are companies like JCPenney. JCPenney has a workforce of 150,000 employees spread across 1,200 locations in North America. You might well expect that they have a lot of varied schedules, a lot of challenges in their business. They sell clothes, they stock clothes, they merchandise lots of different things. I'm sure you've been in one of those stores in your
occasionally,
lifetime.
Occasionally, sadly enough, yes.
And they utilize a video as a prime medium to distribute the information they have, whether it be on a promotion, how to market or merchandise a particular product so it can be sold, how to organize their store, how to set up the way aisles and people walk through aisles, to increase dwell time, what they call dwell time, the time that people spend looking at a product, and getting the information spread around the corporation so that they can be as effective as they can. Another large customer of ours is Orkin, the bug people. You know, bugs aren't a very
that's
kind.
Not the typical glamorous subject for an interview, but interesting twist.
But a necessary part of what we do. I think all of us at one time or another may have had a problem with bugs or vermin. They utilize technology to take their workforce and make sure that they're the best trained workforce in the industry so that they're able to go out on site and solve people's real problems. One of the statistical things that they gave to us recently is that their ability to train a new person to become effective in their job and their corporation had been cut in half by utilizing video and utilizing interactive sessions with those people so that it can be reused when and where they needed it.
So the cost to get somebody up to speed was cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a real gain.
Yeah, a huge gain. And, you know, another customer I'll talk about, a digital signage customer. It's a diner network in the New York, New Jersey area. You know, a lot of us don't eat at home anymore. Advertisers are perpetually looking for, you know, the TiVo effect, if you will, is taking us away from traditional broadcast advertisements. I've got a product to sell. It used to be that I could put that product on broadcast television and I'd hit 85 or 90% of my audience. Today, distributed IP video gives us the ability to consume video when and where we want to. And that's forcing people that want to get their messages in front of us to look for new venues to do that, out-of-home networking. This particular customer utilizes technology in a localized diner environment. They found in a five-mile radius around a particular diner, 40 minutes are spent at lunch and dinner every day. And as those meals are consumed, there's a lot of advertisement that is put up on plasma displays inside that restaurant. Local advertisement, a local dentist, a local real estate agent, a vendor selling really a tire store, a lot of different vendors that want to talk to that particular customer. And the customer also gets from that venue localized weather and traffic information so they know what it's like when they go outside, when they're trying to go somewhere. They utilize it for information like public service announcements. So there's a venue that you're spending upwards of an hour of your time, but a venue that allows that person to utilize a new way to contact you and give you information.
Previously not accessible to the person with something to sell or the service to offer, this creates the opportunity for you to reach them in that place now.
Well, you know, there's also an element of freshness. You know, for a long time, you might have walked into a restaurant and they hand you a placemat that sits in front of you, and you see advertisers on that placemat. But that placemat has a finite shelf life. With video or a display that's interactive, I can actually put many more people on there, and I can change that content on an hourly, weekly, 10-minute basis if I want to.
So in a diner, keeping things from going stale is a good thing.
Absolutely. You know, things from just wait time. When I walk into the diner, when am I going to be seated? Well, my name can show up visually, and I can look at that and not have to talk to the attendant. There's a lot of different ways that that visual medium can help me.
There's a lot of buzz, Nate, around IPTV. Talk about that buzz, if you would, and how what Helios is doing plays into the IPTV space.
You know, IPTV is an interesting thing. IPTV has a lot of definitions. You know, some people would refer to it as interactive television. Some people would talk about it as television now available in the internet protocol or available at your computer. And, you know, depending on your perspective, there are, I think, all of those definitions or a number of the definitions could be applied. The unique thing that we see in IP television is now, just like the digital signage effort, I'll be able to get what I want when I want. Right now, I have to buy bundled programming. I have to watch an event when it's available to me, unless I have a TiVo type of device or a PVR or DVR device that allows me to record it.
To time shift it.
To time shift it, to give me the ability to do something there. And fundamentally, it's a change for the broadcast industry, the cable industry and the broadcast television industry, to deliver their product in a new way. You know, the steps utilizing the internet to get that information was one step forward. But now in my home, if I'm able to have a network, an IP network, much like the network I have, and utilize that network for the delivery of that infrastructure, it simplifies the whole delivery system and allows me to get what I want when I want. And I think, I guess I've said that about five times, but I think at the end of the day, IPTV boils down to the ability to do just that. There are technologies we've seen from the ability to pick the camera angle you're watching a live tennis match from or a football game. Right now, when you see a football game, you're at the mercy of CBS or NBC or ABC and what they show.
Sure.
But to have cameras stationed around a stadium and then allow you to pick what angle you like best. Do you like to be close to the field? Do you like to be up? There's the ability to do that.
Kind of mass customization of the viewing experience.
Absolutely. And then, you know, more than that, you know, I have to work late at night, and so I don't get to see something. But now I have a way to see it, and I can actually carry it with me on a portable device, or I could take it and consume it on a network at, not necessarily at work, probably a bad idea there, but but on devices that I might carry with me. You know, a lot of people will carry film on their laptop in an airplane, but you can carry a lot of other things with you as well.
Your website talks about digital signage, and this clearly creates some huge opportunities and, I think, impacts on retail operations. You mentioned JCPenney as a for instance there. What are some of those opportunities and what are the challenges that these companies face that are looking at the digital signage issue, and how are they using Helios to leverage the digital signage opportunity?
I think a key thing from a lot of people is they look around and say other people are doing it, I've got to get in the game. And I think that the first piece of advice, if I could use this forum to do that, I would tell people is begin with the end in mind. What are you trying to do? We have people that approach us and say, I want to increase my sales. We have other people that approach us and say, I want to provide information to my customer base. And if you can begin with that criteria in mind, it makes it a lot easier to determine how and what you'll do when you do a digital sign. In its simplest form, a digital sign is a visual display of what heretofore has been a static or a printed sign. And that content, what's displayed there, is critical. But having made the decision of why I want to do digital signage, what effect it might have in my organization, whether that simply be, like in an airport example, just giving my customer base information. You know, I fly fairly often, and when I go in and I can see if I've been upgraded or if I'm on a wait list without having to talk to an attendant, that requires the company to have less employees potentially. It informs me when and where I can get it versus having to go stand in a line, wait for that information. But there are a lot of dynamics in digital signage that need to be considered. You know, how and where and what I'm doing it for is one thing. And where Helios really fits in is the delivery. A lot of people look at the medium and say, I want to do it, but then they fail to understand that there are some critical networking questions that have to be answered in its delivery. How do I get it there? How do I make sure that the right content is in the right place at the right time? In a department store, as an example, there are multiple departments. You might have people that are selling things from luggage to menswear to womenswear to white goods. Well, obviously, I don't want a menswear ad running in the wrong place. I also don't want to have an ad that is continuing to run to sell a particular brand of Levi's if I'm out of that in inventory. So it's really a matter of taking the information sources you have, whether it be a retail operation or a not-for-profit organization, and saying, what can I do to help enhance the customer or the person that's looking to get service or buy something from me and utilize it in that way? And we see a real fundamental shift. It's been a nascent thing for a long time, and a lot of people are talking about it. But I think that over the next year to 18 months, we'll see a lot more of it around us. I mean, the other day, I'm a golfer, and I saw not a digital sign, but a sign in the cup, in the hole in the ground. And I thought to myself, holy cow, when I bend over, I can't even avoid this stuff. And that's, which is one of the other aspects of this that has to be very taken into consideration. You can go overboard. You know, does my audience or my customer want
this? Do they start to resent the marketing intrusion?
Right. And are you taking that away? And that has to be a part of the decision process of what I'll put in and when I'll put it in and how it will operate. And so I would just recommend that most people, when they think of digital signage or look at it, spend some time to decide why they're going down that path in the first place.
With this mass digitization of content, what are the implications? I mean, you mentioned signage, is traditionally a print media. What are the implications on legacy media companies like, network television or the print house? And what opportunities does this create for Helius? What opportunities or challenges does it create for them?
One of the aspects of that is obviously the advertisement or the advertising business itself. You know, as vendors of very popular products look at the traditional television opportunity, they say, and the cost to get those eyeballs are going down, they're saying, well, where else can I go? Well, the challenge for them as digital signage is not available everywhere yet is to how do I buy onto a network like that? There has to be another network for me to buy into. There might be a particular company that installs a network that covers a certain demographic, but it doesn't cover everyone as ubiquitously as a television type of a broadcast does. So my belief is that as these networks grow, they'll have to aggregate together so that they become a viable alternative to sell a mass merchandise product over. So that if I'm in a department store or a gas station or an oil changing facility or whatever, wherever I'm at, there's an opportunity to affect my decision. But there's another fundamental important thing here, and that is to be able to influence the purchase decision when it happens. When I'm looking at a television, and not to slide on my own children, but I have teenagers, and if they're working at a department store and I walked in to buy a television, I know that my son doesn't know much more the difference between a Mitsubishi and a Zenith or a Panasonic or a JVC television. Well, somebody does. The creator of that product does. So could I create an interface that might be a touchscreen display or even connected to a motion detection system that would allow me to get information about that product? Statistics show that 78% of the time, if I get the right information at that point when I'm trying to make a decision, that I'll buy that particular brand or product. So it's a chance to really affect what happens at that point of sale. The phenomena associated with it, some people are resistant for what we talked about earlier, resistant to the fact that it's intrusive. Other people look at it and say, well, I walk into a given department store right now and I'm surrounded by signage of every type. But if it can be coupled with the right information that I might want to have in addition to the advertising and not just be advertising, then it becomes palatable to me. It becomes something that I want to participate in because it gives me information about, as I said in the diner example, a traffic situation. If I leave right now, there's a wreck, so I might want to take a different route.
Well, or I've got time for an apple pie dessert to ship out because the interstate's clogged up.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that had that information not be available to me. And so our belief is that it's got to be a combination of those things, but it is definitely have an impact and will have more and more of an impact on the traditional advertising sales models, on the print advertising space, which it doesn't go away. There's a place for that as well, right? But I think that overall, as technological things change, sociological factors have to change with them. My father's 73 years old, and I don't think he's using an ATM yet.
Wow.
And it's
hard to imagine.
And it's simply, I think, resistant because of how he grew up and how he was trained to deal with finance. Now, my kids, on the other hand, I don't think they've ever been in a bank.
Age seven, never been in a bank, know how to use an ATM.
Absolutely. And so there's some of those kinds of criteria that I think are going to be over this space for a while. That until we get, you know, my kids and your kids are people that spend a lot of time on an Xbox or a PS2 or playing games. And they are used to a very, very high impact medium. That's the way that that's just what they're used to, and they expect that. And when they go to a venue and don't receive it,
they're not going to vote with their dollars ultimately.
Absolutely. And I think that will force those people that are not participating to get into that game.
Our standard last question: if you could go to lunch today with any three people in the world, who would you like to go to lunch with and why?
Well, I think first and foremost, Gordon B. Hinckley from the LDS Church comes to mind. I would add to that Tiger Woods. I'm a golf junkie, and I look at him and see a person that's very driven and dedicated to what he does and wants to be the best at what he does. And I think there's a lot of uniqueness, a lot of things I can learn from that. In President Hinckley's case, I look at him, obviously, my own background, as someone that I look up to very much, but someone that's very open to everything around him, people, environment, everything included, and try to learn what I could incorporate in my life from his example. A third, I got to think about a third. Those two were the first. Stretch my mind. You know, probably my dad, because, you know, my dad's someone that I've always looked up to, someone that I like to share things with. And if I think I could have an audience with those two people at the same time, I'd want to share it with my dad. Because I'm sure there's something that he would learn, because he's a lot smarter than I am, that I wouldn't learn, that I would learn from later.
Nate Hatch, Senior Vice President of Marketing and Corporate Development for Helius, thanks for joining us today on the podcast.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Kip.